Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
All right, so we've been in a series called Reality Check, where as you can see, it's kind of been an occasion or an opportunity to consider a matter realistically or honestly. And we've been talking about our purpose as a church. What are the things that we're here to do? The things that Scripture says, you know, this is why God created the church. This is why God kind of put it into place rather than just kind of going, doing everything himself or whatever other way he might have been able to do things. So I've been looking at the fivefold purposes based on the purpose-driven church, because I think it outlines them really well. So the first one, the first one we looked at was worship. And we talked about how worship was more than just what we do on Sunday morning. And we kind of challenged you to kind of go, how can we actually make worship a part of our everyday? Second one was ministry, about meeting people's needs. This is something that God actually calls us and challenges us to do, is to meet people's needs spiritually, emotionally, practically, but to be people who do good, who love, who care, particularly, you know, especially in the area of spiritual needs, because nobody else does that. And so this is one of the challenges for us. How do we go? What a ministry? And it was kind of the question was, what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do in order to be a person who meets somebody's need? Then we came to evangelism. It's talking about sharing the gospel. And the question was really about, are you ready to do that? Do you know how to do that? Are you willing to do that? To be somebody who actually carries the gospel to someone who needs it. This good news about Jesus and his awesome victory. And then last time we had, a couple of weeks ago, we had fellowship. We had this purpose where the church is meant to be family, where we're supposed to be relationally interconnected because we were created and hardwired and designed to need people, to need connections, to need relationships and to need family. And it's not always perfect. But we looked at like that, but there are also ways that we can withdraw from that kind of connection, isn't there? And so we kind of we're thinking about the question, you know, how can you be more connected, or how can you help somebody else to be more connected and find that kind of relationship, that kind of family connection and community that all of us need. So today, if you've been following along, you remember we kind of used two key passages of Scripture. The first was the Great Commandment, where Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And the second was, like it, love your neighbour as yourself. And the Great Commission, when Jesus talked to his disciples and he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So the little bit that I've underlined there in verse 20, this where it says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, is one of the purposes of the church that we refer to as discipleship. And one of the things about God's plan for us as Christians and as believers is that we're not just kind of meant to stay on the same level. Yes? We're supposed to, like, we're designed to grow. Living things grow, don't they? Yep. It's one of the things that they teach little kids, you know, it's like if it is alive, it's supposed to grow. And if it's not growing, it's not alive anymore. Barack, you know that, being a keen gardener, it's like there's something in your garden and it's not growing. Chances are there's a problem. Not that there'd be anything like that in your garden, I'm sure, but I've got lots. Maybe the rocks. You go rock borders, yeah. So discipleship. And we kind of have this little definition here. This is a definition from Rick Warren. He says, discipleship is the process of helping people to become more like Christ in their thoughts, in their feelings, and in their actions. That's an interesting definition. Now, we often talk about discipleship, and often in church we kind of, it's a word that we kind of throw around. I think a few weeks ago we talked about the word disciple essentially means student or learner or apprentice or that kind of thing. Does anybody remember that? Am I making that up? No? I think we talked about that. We did? Excellent. So the whole concept of what God wants for you is that you grow into maturity, that you grow and become more and more like Christ. And the process through which we do that is what we talk about as discipleship. And that's part of the function of what the church is supposed to do. All right? God's desire is that you are a mature believer, that His church is a mature church. All right. Now, sometimes we talk about discipleship, we talk about being a believer as being a follower of Jesus. Now, sometimes that can be a little confusing because being a follower of Jesus is not so much like what we talk about being having followers and or being a follower in the world today. You know, we have all these people who go, oh, you know, I'm a social media influencer because I've got 150,000 followers, you know. And so followers kind of means a little something a little bit different. When we talk about being a follower of Jesus, we're talking about actually wanting to obey, listen, obey, grow more and more like Him. Now, I don't think there's too many probably Instagram followers that are actually trying really hard to be, you know, not necessarily always about becoming more like the person that you're following, is it? But it's about this kind of building up, and we talked about spiritual gifts on Friday night, and it's one of the things that God actually, God says in Ephesians 4, in this passage of Scripture, we'll read it together. It talks about spiritual gifts, the ministry gifts, and it says their responsibility. It says God's given ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the church. And we read here in verse 12, it says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? This is the goal for you. This is the goal for us as a church. This is the direction that we're supposed to be moving and heading. It goes on. Let me read on just a little bit more. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So the idea of church, one of the purposes of the church is that we have this interaction with one another. We have spiritual gifts operating according to God's plan and God's design, to help us to actually grow up into that picture, into that image of what God actually says, this is what I've called you to be, this is what I've designed you and created you to be. So this is what discipleship is all about, okay? Discipleship is about us growing together in maturity. So when I kind of started to think about discipleship, because there's a few different facets of discipleship, isn't there? There's a few different facets of Jesus' command to make disciples and teach people, and it's like, well, who is He talking to? Whose responsibility is that to make disciples and stuff? Okay, so I'm going to kind of break it down into a few little sections, and hopefully that will help you remember more, okay? For those of you who are taking notes, like, here's the next heading. Number one, being disciples. When we read that passage of Scripture before where it says, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, is anybody there yet? No. All right, we've all still kind of got a bit of growing to do before we get there, haven't we? Yeah, you know, and it seems fairly obvious, but one of the things that we've got to remember is that this is a process. So our process of being discipled is something that is going to take the rest of our life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul's writing to the church there, and he's saying, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So what he's saying is the work that God began within you, you are a work in progress and you're not finished until Christ comes back. So until that day, you know, we can never say, you know, that's it, I've learned all that there is to learn. You know, I'm as much like Christ as I could ever be without a beard. You know, it's like we can't get to, some of us are doing better in that department than others, but, you know, we're still growing. It continues throughout life. Now, one of the ways that, I don't know about you, but one of the ways that I actually learn a lot about being a Christian is from people. You know, we can kind of get all spiritual and we say, you know, well, you know, my mentor is Jesus, you know. And, you know, and I learn from Jesus and I learn from the Bible, and that's very true. That's great. But I think that that's only partly true, because as human beings, we are influenced by people around us, aren't we? We learn from our parents. We learn from our teachers. We learn from those who, you know, maybe we did an apprenticeship and we learn stuff about, you know, how to be an electrician or a boilermaker or a plumber or, you know, whatever from other people. And whether you realize it or not, whether you're conscious of it or not, you're still learning from other people around you. So there are always kind of influences in our life. And, you know, that's kind of one of the things that we've got to be conscious of when we talk about discipleship, is that we're being discipled by somebody. You know, who was it that sang the, you know, you're going to have to serve somebody? Was that a Bob Dylan or I don't know. You know the song, you're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You're looking at me blankly. All right, go. Yeah, Matthew knows. He knows. He knows I'm not making it up. Yeah. Hey? I don't know who it was. Yeah. Somebody old. Older. Oh, sorry, Kathy. Older. You know, so we learn by the people that we learn from the people that we hang around. We're influenced by the people that we hang around. You're part of this church. There are people here that are influencing you and helping you to see what it looks like to be a Christian. Because this is one of the reasons why I think Jesus did more, why God needed to do more than just kind of give us a book to learn from. Now, this is invaluable. You know, this is a wonderful, this is God's living word. And, you know, I don't want to discount this in any way. But I think if this was all we needed, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come. You know, and I think there's some truth in the sense that Jesus came and kind of lived out what it looks like for us to actually put this into practice, to have this at work in our lives. And we look at that example, we know that Jesus lived and modeled what it looks like to be a child of God for us and for his disciples. All right, but we learn from things that we get taught, we learn from looking at people. All right. This is one of the, I started thinking about this and started thinking about, you know, like how do we talked about spiritual gifts. We're talking about spiritual gifts the other night, so this is kind of the big thing at the moment. But if you, let's say for example that, you know, God's given you a prophetic gift, all right? Now, some of you here probably have a prophetic gift. I think that's probably quite true, where you have a great ability to hear what God is saying for somebody or for the church and communicate that, all right? It's essentially what we're talking about, a prophetic gift. How do you learn to develop that gift? Who would you go to develop, you know, who would you go and talk to in order to develop your prophetic gift? Someone with the same gift. That's right. Someone where you see, like, they're a little bit further along the road than what I am in exercising and what it means to work in this kind of prophetic gift, to have this prophetic gift and to use it. What if you feel like you know maybe God's given you an evangelistic kind of gift? Like there's this desire, but you know you need to develop it. You know that like there's some stuff you struggle to know how to do it. Who are you going to go and talk to? Who are you going to watch in action to know how to develop your evangelistic gift? An evangelist, yeah. Someone who's doing it, someone who's a little bit further along the road than you. And I think, you know, that is a fantastic thing. That makes sense, doesn't it? It's pretty logical. You know, it's no good. If you want to know how to develop an evangelistic gift, it's no good going and talking to a pastor. You know, he might direct you to that person, but he's not going to be able to tell you how to function in the gift of an evangelist because he's not one. He can give you some theory, but you can't watch him and see it in practice and see it how it works in action. All right, a couple of questions. I know you love my questions, don't you?
Yes.
All right, question. Who are my role models? Who are my role models when it comes to my gifts, when it comes to life as a believer, when it comes to Christian? Who am I looking at? Who are my influences? Who are my role models? Who's my Obi-Wan? All right. So you know, like Jackie over here, we can be super spiritual and we can say Jesus is. He's my role model. And yes, that's very true. But like I said before, it's only partly true. Okay. Who are our earthly influences? Who are the people that we're looking to go, what does this look like today in 21st century Wyala? To live out this kind of faith, to live out this Christian life, to live out what it means to exercise and operate in this spiritual gift or that spiritual gift, or what does it mean to, you know, how do I be a good dad? How do I be a Christian mum? How do I lead someone to Christ? You know, what does that look like? And you know, I think if we are struggling to identify some of those things, some of those people, if we're kind of going, well, I don't know, maybe there aren't any, well, I'd kind of go, the next question I would ask you is, am I learning? Am I growing? Or have I kind of hit a plateau where I've got comfortable and I've gone, yep, I'm all good, I've got it sussed, I've got church sussed, I've got my Christian life sussed, and I don't need to learn or grow anymore? Because I think if we've got this kind of hunger and this desire, if we have this mindset that says, I need to grow, I need to learn, then we find, you know, we look, don't we? We look around and we go, who's a little bit further along the journey than I am, and how do they do it? All right, and here's the second question, all right? What kind of student am I? How many of you know that the best teacher in the world cannot teach a student who doesn't want to learn? Yeah. Some of us, I think, need to think about what kind of student we are. Am I the teacher's pet down the front who's, you know, just drinking it all in and like wants to keep putting my hand up? No, it's not physical location, no. Sometimes that's an indication, but, you know, no. am I that, you know, the student that's kind of, you know, sitting up in the back row with my arms folded and go, teach me something, I dare you, you know. Because we can be a bit like that sometimes, can't we? We go, I don't need to learn nothing. Yeah. What kind of student am I? All right, let's move on. So being a disciple, like this is number one, okay? We are all disciples. We're called to be disciples, and we need to kind of make sure that we're doing a good job of that. All right, number two, making disciples. Okay, we're called not just to be a disciple, but also to make disciples. If all of us were only ever concerned about being disciples, the church would die out pretty quickly. All right, this kind of comes into, we talked about this a little bit in evangelism, but okay, so how do we make disciples? Okay, first step one, which we just discussed, is to be one. Okay, as we're learning, as we're growing into that, it kind of gives, but step two is this, like first be one, then let others watch you. Step two is to let people watch you. All right? That is a little bit scary, isn't it? But this is what Paul encourages us to do. Let's have a look at a couple of things that Paul says firstly. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and he says, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Now you think, now that's terribly unspiritual, Paul. What are you doing? Surely we should all be imitating Christ. Why does Paul not just say, "Hey, be imitators of Christ"? That's right. Absolutely. Paul understands that as human beings, we kind of need sometimes to see stuff in front of us, don't we? We are relational and we learn from people. I once heard it, so I tried to find this, but I couldn't find it. But I remember hearing somebody I worked in school system for a long time. And you hear lots of stuff about education. But I remember hearing somebody say that students don't learn material, they learn teachers. You know, we learn from people. And Paul recognizes this and he says, hey, you know, I'm sure that he's saying, like, I'm imitating Christ, you know, and look at me, imitate me. And I think a part of that, to be honest, like if we're being realistic, part of that is going, imitate Christ the way I imitate Christ. You say, I'm going to be a role model for you, my relationship with Christ. You know, like you look at how I relate to Christ and how I learn from Christ, you know, and you kind of imitate that as well. But Paul says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Now, this is not just kind of a one-time thing, right? Just in case. Like I've heard like this kind of concept a lot before in this verse, but it kind of, when I started looking into it a little bit, surprised me how many times he says this, right? Philippians chapter 3. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." So he's saying it's not just me, all right? He's taking it out of the realm of just Paul's an exception to the rule and, you know, the one person that we're allowed to imitate. He says, follow after me and others who follow our example. Right, so he's saying this is a principle. He's saying, look at people who are a little bit further along the journey than you. Maybe that, you know, not necessarily even in every area, right? Like if you want to learn about a prayer or you want to learn about, you know, whatever it might be, deliverance ministry or fasting or, you know, being a good parent or whatever. Look at someone that you can, that is a bit further along perhaps that path in that area. Again, in Philippians 4, verse 9, he says, "Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing." So again and again and again, Paul's saying, you know, hey, guys, if you need a model to follow, look at me. He's extending that invitation and saying, hey, look at the way that I do things. He's being a disciple maker. So here's the question. Who's watching me? I'm watching you. I know you're all watching me right now, but you're supposed to ask yourself this question. Who's watching me? Who is my apprentice? Yeah. So we're kind of following a pattern here, right? Because like before we had Luke Skywalker, who was the apprentice under Obi-Wan, and now we've got Luke who's become the master and he's taking on an apprentice. Okay. So have I ever invited someone to watch me? Have I ever said, like Paul says, hey, if you want to learn what being a Christian's all about, take a look at me. Have I ever asked somebody? No, I don't think I have. Have you? It's interesting, isn't it? It's like we have no problem with that in a professional setting. But we put that in a spiritual setting and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm being big-headed if I say that. Don't we? In a professional setting, when we know that we know something, we know how to do something and someone else is learning, we have no problem with that. We don't see ourselves as being big-headed when we say, you know, let me show you how to do this. Like, that's just being a good teacher, isn't it? But all of a sudden we put this into a spiritual context and go, oh, you know, why do we see that differently? It's not really any different, is it? We say, here's something I've learned, let me help you learn it too. Is that arrogance? It's not really, is it? Provided that we're giving, you know, credit where it's due, and we're saying, here's something I learned by being stupid, and God was gracious and showed me and revealed some stuff to me through His Word and through His Spirit, and now I want to help you to kind of learn that too, so that you can maybe avoid some of the foolish mistakes I made. That doesn't sound arrogant or full of oneself, does it? You know, and I think that when it comes to like this sort of practical discipleship, disciple making kind of stuff, we've got to get some of that junk out of our head that gets in the way of us actually being open enough with people to say, hey, I want to help you to learn some stuff that God has taught me. I want to share some stuff with you. Watch me, observe the way that I live. All right. This is tough stuff, I know. This is challenging. All right, and here's number three. So we had being a disciple, disciple making disciples, and number three, making disciple makers. I was gonna make this point disciple maker. Being disciple maker makers, but I thought that was a bit confusing, so making disciple makers. And here's part of this is kind of like this is next level stuff. All right. It's like if you're kind of once you're kind of getting there with making disciples, we've got to teach those disciples how to then disciple other people. Have a look. This is kind of ultimately our goal, isn't it? When we talk about the expansion of God's kingdom, we talk about multiplication versus addition. Teaching other people to then be disciple makers is how we begin to get into the realm of multiplication of the kingdom. Let's look at the instructions that Paul gives to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He says, you've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Okay, so what Paul is saying, he's saying, you've been discipled by me. Okay, but he goes on, he says, now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. That's disciple making. All right, so he's saying, you, Timothy, you go and make disciples. But he goes on and he says, who will then be able to pass them on to others. So what is he telling Timothy? He's saying to Timothy, don't just be a disciple maker, be a disciple maker. Make more disciple makers, all right? Teach other people and give them some stuff that helps them to then go on and make more disciples. And then those disciples make more disciples and, you know, it kind of balloons out from there in this kind of exponential growth. I like exponential growth. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Okay. And you know, we kind of see this at work in the world around us. You know, when an apprentice, becomes qualified and they get their trade and, you know, and if they kind of work and get a bit of experience, what do they usually do after that? Or often do after that? They take on an apprentice of their own. You know, and they train that person up. And this is how, you know, the skills are kind of passed on down through generations. I mean, you go back to Jesus' day and it was kind of a family thing. You would grow up and you would learn your trade from your father or, you know, whatever it might be, or your mother if you were a girl, and you'd learn all the stuff that your mum knew and she'd pass it on. But it'd kind of go generation. And if stuff wasn't passed on, then those skills are lost. If information isn't passed on, then it gets lost. I came across this little plan, which I kind of found helpful. It's kind of a simple little plan for making disciple makers, and it's kind of just a brief little outline. All right, so step one, you can kind of look back at some of Jesus' ministry and sort of see some of this stuff and the way that he worked and operated. And taught people. So step one was, I do, you watch, we talk. All right, so Jesus, you look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and the disciples didn't do a heck of a lot. Like Jesus was doing stuff and his disciples were kind of following along and learning. And if you've ever had an apprentice, if you've ever had someone sort of, you know, work shadowing is the kind of the term we use these days, you know, basically they don't know how to do anything, so you can't really get them to do much. You ever had an apprentice, Don? Yeah? when they first start out, first year apprentices, what are they good for? Sweeping up. Yeah. Carrying tool bags, that's right. They're not really qualified for much, all right? So what they're doing is they're watching what you're doing, and you're demonstrating things and you're passing on stuff to them. All right, so that's step one. I do, you watch, and we talk. And he kind of explains, and you see Jesus all throughout his ministry, and this is kind of a consistent part, is sitting down explaining, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it. All right, step two is I do, you help, we talk. So as they start to learn a little bit of stuff, they actually get a little bit more capacity. They can actually start to get a little bit more hands-on and help. You know, they know what a Phillips head screwdriver is, or a, you know, 12 mil socket wrench or whatever it might be, and they can pass your stuff or be a little bit more help. So it's still the teacher, the master is still doing most of the stuff, but his apprentice begins to help. Step three is you do, I help, then we talk. So there's kind of this shift as the apprentice is starting to learn how to do stuff, they kind of step in and take on more responsibility. Step four is you do, I watch, and then we talk. So at this point, that apprentice has taken on pretty much the whole responsibility, but still under supervision, kind of with that safety net of supervision. And then step five is you do, someone else watches. So then there's that shift. Now that apprentice is going, you know, who can I begin to teach? Who can I begin to train up? So this is, we'll kind of, that's most of what I've got to share with you this morning. But I want to, I guess, kind of challenge us with some of those questions, with some of those thoughts. So be intentional, because this is the kind of stuff that doesn't happen by accident. When it comes to the church, when it comes to making disciples, it's kind of, you know, if we want to be intentional about how we go about doing this, about thinking about this. And so I want us to challenge us to think about, you know, to have this reality check. How are you going with that? What's the next step for you? Where do you identify with the stages? Maybe you're not ready yet to be a step three disciple maker. Maybe you're still at I'm still learning how to be a disciple. And that's okay. Like, you know, that if that's where you're at, focus on that. Study the life of Jesus. Look at who your influences and your role models are, and be intentional about learning. Be a good disciple. Be the kind of student that is eager and keen to learn. Maybe you're at kind of stage two, you know, or there are people where you're going, I need to be a little bit more intentional about encouraging some people to watch me and learn from me. And there's some stuff that God has taught me, and I know that he's taught me that stuff so that I can share it and help somebody else. How many of you know that often some of the hard lessons that we learn, we got to learn them the hard way to make sure that we know them well enough to be able to teach someone else? You know, and God says, I'm letting you go through this, and I'm teaching you this stuff so that you'll be able to help somebody else. And you'll be able to walk alongside someone else as they're going through it. Teach them how to trust God the way that you learn how to trust God. Teach them how to pray the way that you learn how to pray. Teach them how to persevere and press in when things seem tough, the way that you learn how to do it through that difficult situation. And maybe God's challenging you and saying, hey, you know, there's some opportunities, there's some people in your life, and as you pray and as you begin to ask God where those opportunities and who those people are, he'll begin to impress those on your mind, I'm sure. And I guess the step three kind of follows along from step two. So like as we begin to help people and train people through stuff, as we begin to grow disciples and help make disciples of others, we need to be mindful that we don't just kind of let it stop there, that we actually pass on some of those skills and begin to teach them intentionally and deliberately how to then make disciples of their own. This is our call to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, this is sometimes a daunting challenge that you put before us. But Lord, we want to be people who rise to the challenge, knowing that you would not give us something that we were not able to do. Lord, that that through you, that as you equip and as you strengthen, as you provide your wisdom for us through your word and through your spirit at work within us, through the things that we learn from one another, God, we pray that you would help us to take up that challenge of being disciple makers. Lord, of sharing the things that you've taught us, Lord, the hard lessons sometimes, but to pass on and help others to grow into that and share those experiences, Lord, and not hoard them or keep them to ourselves, the wisdom that you've given to us by your grace. Lord, we pray that you would give us an openness to be learners, to be people who have that hunger and desire to grow and to move forward and to become more and more like the image of Jesus. Not to be content with where we are, not to be content with a plateaued walk with you, but Lord, to have that hunger to rise up, to grow, to bring others with us. Lord, to see ourselves as being disciple makers. Father, we pray for your wisdom. We pray that your spirit would lead us and guide us as we meditate on these things, as we think on these things, as Lord, as we take an honest and realistic kind of look at where we're at with that. And we ask you and we say, God, help us to identify the next step for us, the next step in our walk, what you're calling us to do now. Lord, we pray that you would guide us and lead us in that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.